need to, weft.org. Just click on the Spinatron calendar page. I think that is labeled recent spins on the WEFT home page.
Listening to the radio station where the mighty host of heaven sing.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on. If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of the endless spring.
Hi, this is Jeff Tweedy from Wilco, and you're listening to 90.1 FM Champaign, WEFT.
Elliott Counseling Group has been providing compassionate mental health care to the community for nearly 20 years. Elliott Counseling Group offers counseling and behavioral health medication support and management to children, adolescents, and adults of all ages. Elliott Counseling Group serves Champaign, Urbana, Tuscola, Tarleton, Mattoon, and surrounding communities, with visits currently held both in person and via online telehealth appointments. More information is available at ElliottCounselingGroup.com or by phone at 217-398-9066.
This is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WAFT Champaign 90.1 on your FM dial. And it's Sunday, the 11th. The weather has been fine. Relatively cool. One has to wonder because the climate changes are quite real and they're likely to hit us too. I want to follow through from where we've been begging people to think about volunteering as organizers of community not-for-profit organizations. We are terribly short of leadership because it is involved and it takes time, but it is tremendously helpful to have someone who can cover several fields. If your research area is compact, you don't have to be quite so worried, but if you're dealing with the environment generally, then you are likely to have to bridge many topics, many different attitudes. And so we've been running through some of those things. The Prairie State Conservation Coalition has been attacking this program by having talks that introduce people to finding out themselves. Often the leadership evolves from happenstance of dropping into a place that is appreciated. And but if they're going to do that as volunteers, there needs to be someone who explains what it is that they might have to do. It's very frustrating to be alone and not have someone to mentor you through. Then once you find out who you are and what you might want to do, I go to a bank where there was a teller, and he remains as a teller when many of the other tellers come and go. He remains because he has chosen and enjoys working at that location. So he's found his soul, and he knows the rules, and he can help others in a very personal way. Others will go further and look at being future bank managers or financiers or farm managers or what have you. And that will take some knowledge of the science of farming, the biology behind it, just But once you get to be a CEO, and I more or less am one because I'm sort of often a one-man show, one of the things you look for, well, you don't look for it, but it's very helpful to have rewards. And we haven't dealt with that very much, but as I get older and as I some of our plots and relationships mature, we get to find out that some of the things we've done work well, and we have to assure the people that we're trying to encourage in new generations to get their jollies out of that sort of experience. You don't necessarily go out looking for it, but if you've planted a bunch of prairie and it happens to be growing 20 years later and the daisies are spreading their petals and bee balm is flowering and the yellow cornflower is doing its thing, you get to feel that you have contributed something, and that you can transmit to people who might look for to be CEOs and look for some sort of tangible reading of progress. So you helping people to understand that you just won't be lonely up there. There will be other people watching. I want to translate that to July the 4th. While my program was being aired, you have to understand that we're recording this on a Saturday. It goes to Urbana Public Television and from my office. Then Urbana Public Television sends the radio broadcast to WEFT, and then the video record goes to Channel 6, which is a community video program, and then it goes to YouTube, where anyone around the world can get it, and it is at various stages archived with the Urbana Free Library or with WEFT, The Sound, or with UPTV for the video. So if we do one program, it has multiplier effect. Well, I'm not quite sure where this happened, but 20 years ago or in that vicinity, I encountered a Moultrie County engineer, bridge engineer, roadside, railside engineer. And I think it might have been when there was a prairie conference at Charleston at the university where botanists were getting together and people were interested in doing roadside management. So I met Doug DeLong, and he was planting roadsides. And usually roadside plantings are bromgrass and ryegrass and plants that can be mown, and plants that grow quickly, 10 days at least, and very different from native plants that might take 5 years to really grow and blossom. And so I can remember going to a railroad right-of-way area and visiting, and at that time I was promoting prairie preservation and restoration. preservation means that you're looking for remnant prairies that were, and we're down to 0.01% of what we have. That means our native ecosystem with its 110 prairie plants almost extinct. And I, as an Australian, got involved because I felt that that was rather an insult to the gene pool to not preserve that dignity of ecology that is the heritage of this area, especially this county, 94% prairie. And when I asked where the ecosystem was and what was it and where was it, I often got blank responses. When I went to the Natural History Survey and to botany and zoology, the answer was very different. And the Committee on Natural Areas, for instance, the Dr. Kendi knew very well where what I was asking for, and I got involved. So at that point, you don't exactly know how to respond. You have to find the people who know the details. You have to work with people who have different interests. There is, for instance, a prairie concrete company, or the name prairie is given because it's a meadow and it's a overall unit of wildlife habitat that early settlers encountered. So prairie is the name, but then you have to find the prairie itself, and it's mostly along old railroad lines and then cemetery set-aside plots that haven't been used yet or have only been used lightly when and replaced with a new cemetery. Well, somewhere I went and visited Doug DeLong in Moultrie County and suggested that native planting was quite possible. I think he had it in his mind already and had situations that were possible. It's not always possible to plant prairie because it may take years to grow and appear. And it may be weedy for several years, and that doesn't please people who have grown to a neatness syndrome. It's been a while, so I have to think back to the possibility of a railroad line with a new road nearby that saved some diagonal railroad crossings that were dangerous and ready for planting. And what should you plant? Where should you get the seed? Where are your railroad beds that have prairie on them? Have you a storehouse where you can aggregate various seeds? Can you know enough to be able to recognize some of the plants? Early on, it's easy to pick on a compass plant or a dock. They're tall and very easy to see, and they have beautiful flowers that can be recognized, and you recognize the structure very quickly, especially if you're dealing with children. You get to know the names of 6 or 8 or 10 or 25 species, and then you're on the way to restoration. You do have to collect seed at the right time of the year. You have to be in competition with weevils and other creatures that also enjoy the seed that you're wanting to capture. If it's Baptisia, it's a legume and it has a nice white bloom and then has pea pods. It's rather attractive. You have to know that the moment the seeds mature, there's going to be a raft of insects in there competing for the seed. So you have to know the date. So you find a schedule to find out what plants are going to be harvested where. Some of the spring elements with liliaceous plants come early in the season. Pussy toes are early. Hyacinths are early. So it's very handy to have published lists of the date of possible flowering, which is very handy if you want to convince people what you're doing is worthwhile. And you need to take them when it's somewhat interesting, because prairie looks like weeds, and you have to take people to them and introduce them gently, because it does look like weeds, and six generations have been taking out those weeds for agriculture. So Doug called me. He's been referring to me every once in a while. He'll send me a photograph and I'll try to interpret what it is and tell a little of the story. His last story was about rattlesnake master, because he has a bunch of it and he's nearing to retirement and he would like to think about selling native seed. So we've been talking back and forth, and he suggested we might get together and either go visit some of my involvement with prairies and also some of his involvement. Well, I didn't realize that he had moved on from Moultrie County. He still lives in Moultrie County, but he works with the State Department of Transportation and has his fingers in five or six regions. So he's much more than a person from Moultrie County, even though he lives there, built a house there, and operates independently in the virus time like everyone else. It's in Amish land. The farming is very different. It's not quite as rich as the Drummer and Flanagan soils of East Central Illinois, like Champaign County. And there are still livestock. You have horses, you have draft horses, you have cattle and fences. And a neatness of a society that's come from Europe with a background of neatness and tidiness. There's almost a Germanic background there. It might be Austrian, but it might be mainly Swiss. And so Doug came north, and I was going to follow him in my vehicle, but we decided it was probably better to go with Doug, because you talk as you go and you get to know each other, and that's important. You're talking to a leader, in effect, and he may continue in retirement as a leading person. So I hopped into his vehicle, but first I wanted to take him to the Kickapoo Trail, because it's kind of wider than I like, because the right away on either side takes out the original prairie that was there in the time of Shelford and Bestel and early Gleason and later Kendi and others who were the early ecologists. And they used to rent this land from the Big Four for the value of the native vegetation on that corridor, which we now have lost. And we talk a little about George Fell, who went from being a student, probably working or studying on that particular portion of the Kickapoo Trail, went off with his wife Barbara to Washington and created, bought a house, bought a printing press, and created the Nature Conservancy. So we're looking at an organization that's now worldwide. But when you're looking for records or rewards, you look back to where these things started. Sometimes they start with two or three people. Sometimes they start with one person and can multiply to other states, to other nations. And that has happened in a little piece of this trail. So back to being with Doug and going out to the first section of the Kickapoo. But then we turned around and I was going to take him to Rantoul, because it is a potential for development. And we've talked about this a lot. It's we own 9 acres there. And a new Route 45 went out and around a cemetery, leaving two triangles, one to the north and one to the south, that we have bought the north one. We would like to buy the south one, because this is where you have an interesting transect that goes up and over the Bloomington Moraine, from very wet, like you would get in Flatville before it was drained, and then mesic, and then dry, and then down to Ludlow. But then I got to realize that Doug was not only had been a Moultrie County engineer for 4 terms, but he had joined the state and actually had something to do with putting the Kickapoo Trail into action in the first place. There are lots of different stages, and he wasn't there for the last stages, but so we talked, and we turned around and decided to go south to see his plots. On the way, we passed various landscapes, various ethnic groups. We didn't go past Atwood. The engineers for years have been trying to straighten out the road between Ivesdale and Atwood and Arthur. And it's taken perhaps 100 years, but they eventually have a straight road. Whereas when you have a creek, this is Atwood was at the junction of two rivers coming together, and that was a site for early archaeologists who found that summertime Indian populations that came from the Danville area with some winter terrain that was protecting, they came and farmed found church, perhaps traded with chits that came from, it's a very glassy sort of rock that doesn't appear in our area. We're not very volcanic. So if it comes to Atwood, it has to be imported. And I had Tom Riley, who was from anthropology, come down, and he was picking up rocks that were of a different era. So this is Indian territory where there would have been cucumbers and corn and berries and food and summertime fun for native populations. Kind of historic. Early settlers came and took over. So at Atwood, there are four stages of development. There's a log cabin and a frame house, then an Italianate house, and then a bungalow, all owned by the same family, early settlers. And this is a unique situation in a state. And this is part of the prairie story. So Doug knows about those sorts of things. He has come to Moultrie County because his uncle was the engineer for the neighboring county, Coles County, I think it was. And when Moultrie County came free, he called his nephew in Massachusetts. So, and they suggesting that he might apply. And he did apply and won. And so he and his wife, who had a background in Michigan, more in Detroit area, but these are two people who have a different background than the traditional population that is almost touching on Southern Illinois. So if you're going to do prairie preservation there, you might be have a slightly different way of thinking about what you might be doing, because the climate is a little different, the soils are a little different, the glaciation didn't go quite as, the most recent glaciation didn't go quite that far south. So how could I help? I'm never quite sure, but we looked and spent time on areas that are not mown, which is a problem because the state has gotten used to mowing. It wasn't necessarily a syndrome in 1860s when you didn't have a John Deere tractor, but by the time you got to 1924 and up to the early 60s, you're starting to get a continuum of mowing. It's almost as if it's sociologically not good if you don't mow your territory. Some people even mow and herbicide their corn rows that are adjacent to the highway. It involves a welter of gasoline. It involves huge tractors and huge 15-foot mowers that can bend in the middle, and you can put up a leaf on at one side and one other side and make it narrower so it goes, it's adaptable. But there's an occasion when all mowing starts in August the 1st. Well, you have to think about that one too, because Canada thistle matures in June. So if you wait till August to mow it, it's all fluffed out and ready to distribute in the atmosphere to the nearby farms and roadsides. So we need some variable mowing. We need to get people off their mowers or on their mowers at the right time and off their mowers at the wrong time. So we talk about these things on the way to Sullivan. And Sullivan was getting ready for a parade. So interesting to go through the main street of Sullivan. And it's a place where it's commonly known by local people who go there for a theater, which is well known. And so a neat little community. I'm not quite sure how many, perhaps at least 5,000, I would think. And so Doug took me to this railroad line, which I can recollect from years ago, but the recollection has been coming slowly, because now 20 years of growth presents a very different setting. And so can you grow vegetables in your prairie? Well, yes. So Doug has grapevines growing in his prairie. Can you grow flowers in your prairie? Well, yes, there's a daylily, which is ubiquitous. It is survival, you name it. And it comes in various colors, but often in orange. So Doug has daylilies started around, but for us, daylilies are invasive, and they don't exactly give character to the prairie. So I may have changed the thought there, but there's rosin weed, yeah, and cup plant. And it's a time when flowers are beginning to show. You have to know that the time pool here is different. So the yellow coneflowers may even be a little earlier than here, but that may also be later. You have to know that plants are bred to fit into regions, and some plants, corn included and soybeans included, have a short lifespan if they're further north and a longer lifespan further south. So sometimes southern plants are taking longer time to mature. They've been bred that way. So there are also ticks. And how do you handle ticks? Well, yes, you get blucher boots and you get them high on your shank, and the insects find it hard to crawl up there, but still you can come away from a prairie with ticks. So you need a friend who will pick over your ticks and make sure that you don't get Lyme disease, which is not very pleasant to deal with. And So Doug has built his own house, and Alicia comes from a background in Michigan, and they have enjoyed doing this sort of work and at a public level and at a private level. And they welcome me with a sandwich lunch, and we chatted away, and knowing each other a little better is quite helpful. So that's rewarding. And Doug brought me back. We exchanged some silkscreen prints, and Doug is getting ready to be a little on the commercial side, but also on the promotional side for Prairie. I had other things that we might talk about. The era has come when we can get outside and meet again, and that has been very friendly, in terms of reward of knowing. Gerard came by. He was mayor of Champaign for a while, and lives nearby, and he wanted to say that I used to go to city meetings and say something about the prairie and about the railroad lines that they could be found on, and how the cities had to be interested enough to look at areas outside their jurisdiction. Like we have a trail coming in from Bloomington, or we have to look at trails coming from Monticello to Decatur and from Champaign and Banner to Danville. And so that was nice. We chatted for Don Girard. And then at night, we had music right outside the door, and rather wonderful. A lot of people know each other. They share, and they bring their dogs, and the dogs, the best behaved dogs I've seen in a long while. I grew up in the country, and dogs sometimes can be concerned about their ownership of their mentors, and sometimes they can get into a violent hassle, and that can be rather sad. On the other hand, they can be so friendly that they can wrap a leash around your legs and pull you over. But these dogs seem to be able to be interested, be curious, and share their friendship with young children, older adults, and these are creatures that have enough vocabulary that they can work with you and enjoy. The second band was interesting, in it is rather experimental, and a woman came up to me and said her husband died recently, and I knew who she was. Her husband was a Sikh, and he had a regard for what we do. So once again, you're talking about recognition and getting some reward for tough coordination. And he was a tall, strapping Sikh Indian, And he had a brother that came here. They had a retreat over by Muncie. And I had bought from him a tractor, and it had been sitting for a while, so we had tarred around the farmstead for a while until we got it so it could be moved. And we used that Case tractor for some time. He was an engineer. He was a fun person to be with. But his marriage to the woman who talked to me, she said, the person on the guitar is her son, Mike. And he was a stepson of the Indian guy. And I'm sorry, I'm forgetting his name. It started with S, and he was well known. He was very much into ecology and the preservation of same. That's why he had a retreat over by Muncie, which is near the Dantle. I sort of had to scratch my head a little bit because, wow, this is going back some years, and I find that the death was because of cancer. And so this strapping man was bodily quite well, but also attacked by cancer that eventually got him. And I knew where he lived and knew where he had engineering buildings very near the fire department for Champagne. That once again, that's one of those things that is interesting, and I'm trying to work out these relationships. So Mike is now engineer with Virginia Theater, and so we got to talk, and he had been with me when we were all working on a film that involved a person who was looking for a job, but always got jobs that never succeeded. And this was a 30-minute competition video in early video days. And our storefront was exactly what they wanted to have as a backdrop to some of the employment that this person would get. And so Mike, the now person that's in the Virginia Theater, edited some of this picture. So we chatted away quite quickly, and I had been watching them because the three of them, the person on the drums and the other person on the guitar was involved in another association because his sister knows me well, and she is a medico and is my power of medical attorney. And so these sort of interactions are tremendously interesting. And by the end of the day, I had worked out some of these relationships and observed how we were working with the street, with the restaurant tent in the middle, and places for beer and places for not beer, and people watching to see that the rules of the game were met, and rather wonderful. Now, coming to this morning, I forgot, the next get-together that I went to was actually before Friday. It was Thursday, and it was at the Riggs Brewery in East Urbana, and the Sierra Club was meeting. And there have been some live wires who have been working the Zoom procedure, but they have met for the first time. I drew up a little picture of one of our projects that's on my mind, which is 10 miles of prairie on a prairie pathway going north from Rantoul to Paxton. So I quickly put that together and had a picture of the concrete road, which I would like to see to retain. And when I walked in, I walked into somebody else who I'd been working with for some years ago, and that was, again, this sort of interaction where you talk to each other. You may not know each other well, but these two guys were there, obviously sharing their thoughts, and one pulled out his phone and showed me where I had been in WEFT sessions and been listening to WEFT sessions. Somebody had recorded me, and it ended up on his phone. So those sorts of interactions are nice. And so I stayed and talked, and a little bit of politicking, because I want to see next generations and what they're going to do and who takes over some of our work. So I have recently been to the Grand Prairie Friends, suggesting that they might want to take over our 9 acres at Rantoul. And so very gently, you have to be figuring out whether that's a possibility or not. Once again, the CEO sort of thing, to try and figure out how to do what you might do, and you just might fail if you're not very careful. But you have to try. And so Sierra Club was interesting. It was a birthday, and the pollinator people were there. Probably the best part of 20 people were meeting at the Sierra Club get together once a month. I found that rather interesting. Today, early, I went to the farmer's market, and that was rather wonderful, because I was again meeting people. And one of my missions when I go to the farmer's market is to take food which is pockmarked. I don't look for perfect products. We're losing 1/3 of our food goes out because it doesn't look good and it doesn't retain properly. But if I get tomatoes or peaches that are half rotten, I bring them home and I digest them, and I don't put them aside on the counter and let them be. I put them into the refrigerator and make them into soups and things like that. But my mission is to not use a perfect products. And so Carrie knows what I'm looking for. And if she has something that has a hole in one side, then I'll get it. And she directs me to, because there are also other people who do this. And she hates to see food wasted. And I went past people who called me as the prairie monk, and then I got to talk to them, and sometimes I recognize them, but then sometimes I have to think quickly and look for a little side conversations that will let me know who's who and where and what. And so I did a little politic and then came back and stopped at the strawberry fields that was really, I was there a week ago on Saturday morning, and it's sad that I am very aware that that World Harvest, which used to be on the university, is now where the old IGA used to be. And father came here as a researcher or to do a PhD here, I think. But he stayed here and was interested in fungi that work with other fungi, and perhaps one fungi controls another fungi. But we're losing all that connection because most all of our agricultural stores, soils have been destroyed by chemicals that zap everything. And so he too is retired now and is working with the food industry. His daughter, Roa, grew up here, but is also Muslim with a background from Iraq. And they've stayed here, have a community here. And Roa's husband, from the Middle East, or from Iraq, came and they married and have two children. But about 3 years ago, he was working with his father-in-law on University Avenue. We used to talk all the time. And he was this tall and healthy Muslim person. With a legal background, but couldn't practice as an attorney here because he didn't have U.S. experience. So he was managing a store, which may have eventually been his part of the family. And so after I left last Saturday, Said died, and his Said Rachid, and I probably am not announcing it well, but he has been well for a while, almost recovered, then lost, and a little bit like the Sikh guy who was healthy in every other way, but cancer got him, and he died last Saturday afternoon. And the Muslim tradition is for a quick burial, so the funeral was on Monday, and it was a rather large funeral, and people are sympathetic. So I called in today on Saturday to talk to the father-in-law and say how sorry I was to know of his loss and Roa's loss. He was only 40, and I could see the tears rolling down the Muslim face, and I was glad I stopped. I learned where he is buried, and in a foreign country like myself, I have roots in Australia and roots in the US, and it makes for a different experience. So this is just recording a little of the things that happen that make CEO experience rather important. And we need to relay that to other generations, and but just little things like people taking flowers from the the farmer's market home to their mother. Zinnias that stay afloat for a long time. Just little things. And so I left the World Harvest with some flatbread bread, and just came home with thoughts. My brother died some time ago with Parkinson's disease, and interestingly, Parkinson's disease is being related to Alzheimer's, and my wife is faced with the same sort of thing. She is in Tucson, where she's had a career in women's studies and geography. And as you get older, you start to feel changes in your life. I've been without much money lately because some of the people who are aging end up with supervision with power of attorney, POV, and POA. And that means that we have lost a lot of money to keep some of our railroad beds afloat, to pay the insurances, to pay the taxes. And so we're in a very risky situation at the moment because we don't know whether we can recoup this sort of situation. So I have to talk to perhaps a kickstart, and we have to perhaps tell people what we do, and we haven't been very strong at that. A little laid back, and we need to have things on the Facebook and messaging and text messaging, and many of our people don't really have that technology in hand, especially if you're getting older. I'm distributing some of the things we have. And it was interesting that Mike, the guy who's working in the Virginia, knows about the projection of pictures on the screen of the Virginia, a very historic building. And when it was a theater, the people who were waiting got to see projections of slides. These were 2x2 glass slides projected with a huge projector. And I have one of those projectors, and I wonder if it might find a use at the Virginia Theater. The audiences get used to bands that are put together, and it takes people back to a different era. Well, I think one thing I will mention is that elderberries are in action at the present time. They have a white flower. Later they will have berries, and you can make elderberry wine out of them. But some people don't know what they are. So if you have a prairie and it has an elderberry on it, it's not going to be too invasive, but it gives the prairie a little character at the moment. And we don't have to be totally pristine about prairies, but we do have to have biodiversity. We do have to have the soils. And we have to care about the future. So I think it's time to disappear. This is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WEFT Champaign 90.1 on your FM dial. And thanks for listening.
Research shows that mentors play a powerful role in providing young people with the tools to strive and thrive. to attend and engage in school, and to reduce risky behavior. Make a difference in your community by becoming a CU One-to-One mentor. Visit www.